Boom, 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 shake the room. Tick, 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 boom. It's time for Never Loved Elvis.
Topical.
What will it be? That's the thing. Will
yeah,
it be
I know. So after 2 years of COVID, we finally decided to have a web episode. So if we all sound a bit robotic and like Daft Punk or something, that is why. Cousin COVID's come calling. So on my screen, I can see Bez. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. Ian, good to see you.
Nice to see you,
and not
fellas.
Sell you.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. But no Pete. No. I did think about, do you remember the episode of Have I Got News For You when I think it was Roy Hattersley didn't show up and they put a tub of lard out for him. I was thinking for Pete, we could have just a camembert cheese. but we'll battle on without the brave little soldier. So,
well, he's not here to defend himself.
He's not.
That makes it a free-for-all, I'd imagine.
Yep. Yes, indeed it does. Okay, so what's been grabbing your eyes and ears this weekend?
Well, really rather obvious one for me is I went to see Royal Blood live, and they were fab, absolutely brilliant. I saw them at Glastonbury, I reckon, 2017, and sort of like, you know, late afternoon sort of slot. And it was extraordinary. I was struck then with the sound that comes out of these two people. And you can't get away from it whenever you see them live. It's extraordinary. There's this fella over the side of the stage who's like on a synth, and he's clearly got some backing sort of synth going on. But Mike Kerr, I don't know how he gets these sounds out of these bass guitars that he does with an array of pedals, one would imagine. But and Ben Thatcher's drums. Mind you, he's mentored by Lars Ulrich from Metallica, so I think the sound that he gets out of that is obviously always going to be big. But yeah, they were brilliant. Went down to Bournemouth to see them with the Amazons supporting, who were all right actually. Quite like them. That was a new one on me, and I've listened to a couple of tracks since. But they were pretty good.
Heard of them, but not anything of them. If you like,
yeah,
by them,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I went straight to, you know, Spotify, you know, most popular tracks, and they're pretty good. But Royal Blood were absolutely excellent, really, really great. Lots of movement around the stage, you know, never stuck in one spot, even behind the drum kit. And yeah, they're absolutely amazing. Proper mosh pit. It was just like Glastonbury. It was a proper repeat, and got absolutely feet trampled, carried around without feet touching the ground. Lovely to be back in the thick of it.
What was the demographic? What kind of age group was it?
Oh, do you know what? I felt comfortable for once. It was actually all right. somebody said the other day, was it a little bit like All Points East when you were the only person there with grey hair? Which I'm still convinced was the case. And the answer is no. It was very much a Glastow crowd. There was, you know, everything from like, you know, young-looking 16 sort of year olds right up to 50, 60 somethings. It was properly. It was probably. I can't let the guinea pigs go. I can't let that go.
I just muted the microphone then. I'm sorry. I don't know why. George, settle down.
Just brilliant. Yeah, occupational hazards of recording COVID.
Yeah, big Royal Blood fans, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And who can blame them?
Bez, you went and saw them at Victorious last year, didn't you?
Yeah, saw them. Yeah, had not seen them before. They were loud. I don't know the back catalogue and things like that. I just wanted to see them because I wanted to have a good jump around, and sounds sort of similar to what you were describing as. There was, you know, loads of little circle pits starting and things like that, and people going mad,
exactly,
which is good
fun.
I was getting involved in that. For me, they went on a little bit. But it would, I mean, I don't know. But that's, I guess, maybe because I didn't know half the stuff. Do you know what I mean? It got to, well, they must have done about an hour and three quarters of
Victoria. Yeah, couple of new songs in there as well, which are quite good. I know what you mean. Some of the, I think there's definitely a bit of a wee bit of repetition with their music. occasionally, but major in on their last album, Typhoons, and it was good. It was very good. To be honest, it was the first gig I've been to post COVID that felt like pre COVID.
Yeah.
It really did. It really felt like a proper return. It was great.
Okay, I honestly thought, rather when you said that the obvious one was Royal Blood, that you were going to say the obvious one was Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking we might leave that for a little special segment. That bloody awful, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially, the tributes have been rolling in all the time. He was well loved across the industry. For Dave Grohl to have to go through that for the second time, tough. Bad that Pete's not here as well to add his pounds worth on this, because I'm pretty sure he'd have a hell of a lot to say. But I guess from my point of view, I love the Foo Fighters, but not a massive, massive fan. But you and Pete were definitely the two flag bearers there. So yeah, from your point of view, mate.
My point of view, I woke up to the news on, in our WhatsApp chat on Saturday morning after Royal Blood, and couldn't believe it was when it was a bolt upright in bed moment sort of thing, hangover aside. A real, real shock, really young. I know there's been a few bits that have emerged since about his past drug habits and possible connection death related to that. But I always loved the way that he was the most, after Dave Grohl, he was the most central figure in the band, wasn't he? He enjoyed getting out from behind the drum kit, did his fair share of vocals and wrote songwriting, especially on albums like, Skin and Bones, the acoustic album. Yeah. Absolute shocker. Proper character as well, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to be the one that was always in the interviews. It was him, and it was essentially the Taylor and Dave Grohl show.
That's right.
By all accounts, when we saw them at Glastonbury, was it 16, 17? Came out front and from behind the Skins and took the microphone and did, I think it was Queen, Somebody to Love, a bit of a showman as well. I mean, stuck behind the drums. But in the same way that he, in most of the interviews I've read about him, he's his hero is obviously Roger Taylor of Queen. And very similar in the way that whilst they might be at the back of the stage, they're definitely want to be front and centre, and they've got something about them. So, a real shame. Wondering what's going to happen to the Foo Fighters now. I saw that their tour's now obviously been cancelled, put on the back burner. I'm not sure that I think they were due to play the UK this year, weren't they?
Was it Hyde Park? Yeah.
Were they doing some stadium? Yeah. Hyde Park.
This as well, Kev.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Would you just be inclined to draw a line and call it a day?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know is the honest answer. Tough one.
I mean, just thinking about, just reflecting on all the stuff he's been through, like you said. Perhaps a little bit different to Cobain in that they were, they were really close friends, Taylor and Grohl, weren't they? So,
yeah.
And I always just love a drummer who's got some character and will come out from behind the kit and get involved. And they were always really bloody good at bringing up drummers from the audience or people who said they were drummers. He did a fair bit of that, didn't he?
My instinct tells me that he won't call it a day, I don't think.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, I'm only sort of guessing, but I think he's probably too long in the tooth to start again, maybe. And also, the relationship they had, you could argue maybe that he would want him to carry on, go on, don't stop because of this. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be the type of thing. Obviously, they're going to have to step away for a while, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, very sad news, very sad news. On a more up...
Interestingly, just on that, the Prodigy are touring again, aren't they now?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's just starting,
They sold out the tour straight away.
Yeah. If I was going to see the Prodigy again, it would have to be now, because this would be the most poignant time to see them, wouldn't it?
Mm.
I don't know whether further down the line, it's like, without Keith, is it the same? I don't know.
I mean, essentially, he was originally just a dancer, wasn't he? but became a hell of a lot more and a bit of a talisman for that band as well. So, it'd be an odd one. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I didn't bother trying to get tickets for the tour. I've kind of seen them enough. And they were awesome and you know, one of my favourite live bands ever. So I'm not sure I want to see them without him. I don't know. We'll wait and see. If they were headlining a festival, I'd absolutely go and see them. Mm. Will I go and see them on their own? Not sure. But I guess with Foo Fighters, it's different in that Hawkins was the drummer. And if they were to go and carry on without him, they'd still be selling out and everyone would still want to go and see the band and stuff. I don't know. It's tough one. Talking about sellouts, I did try this week, rolling the last rolls of the dice to try and get tickets to Glastonbury and missed out on the resale. Tried on the buses, tried elsewhere, and that's it. I haven't got it to look forward to again for another year. So that will be, it'll be 5 years since, by the time it comes around again, it'll be 5 years since the last one, I think. Which will be.
I did all I could.
Yeah, I had plenty of people trying, but the golden ticket wasn't to be mine this time. So
I forgot.
I got that impression, mate. I was getting phone calls from people who were kind of on the holding page all the time, and it was annoying me because I was trying to look at my phone to use that as an extra device to try and get tickets as well. So it was like, oh, I can't get through. I was like, okay, I'll speak to you later. Bye. moving on.
Yeah.
Other things that I've kind of been listening to, seeing, other than Bez's guinea pigs, two gigs with Bez. So we went and saw Mr. Scruff a few weeks ago, which was awesome. A Friday night gig up in town. It was an evening hosted by him. And we rocked up about 9 o'clock. It finished at 2 a.m. Bez, I'm not sure if you saw, but he actually did two sets that night. One before we came along,
what?
And then he took. He was on at 8 till 9.
Oh no, I didn't realise that.
I saw afterwards on his Instagram post. The other gig I wanted to mention, which I'm pretty sure Bez will come into. In fact, I'll leave Warm Douche for you because that was an awesome gig. So I'll leave that one to you. The final thing I wanted to mention was last night I had a quiet night in for the first time in ages. And I was flicking through the BBC iPlayer just to see what's on there for music documentaries. And there was one about Nirvana being in Britain. And it was an hour long music documentary all about Nirvana being in Britain. As the title suggested, it was very good. It had the usual talking heads of Joe Wiley, Steve Lamacq, Terry Christian, amongst others. But really interesting one. It had Dave Grohl on it. Had Chris Novoselic, and just talking through really that really early period of their career from just before Bleach all the way through to Nevermind and their last ever gig here, which was 1992 Reading, I think, was their last appearance in the UK. They were due to play, obviously, back in April 1994, but that tour was cancelled. But yeah, really interesting documentary. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. An hour well spent.
Sounds good. Where did you see
On BBC iPlayer. I'm a big. I was always a huge Nirvana fan, and kind of that first band that grabbed me. So again, I remember exactly where it was when Kurt Cobain died and all that kind of stuff. So interesting to watch it retrospectively. The lead singer from Biffy Clyro was on there as well, talking about it. He must be roughly the same age because he was telling me a very similar experience to me about knowing where he was and running upstairs and telling his parents and all that kind of thing. Yeah, really good documentary, well worth checking out. Bez, how about you? What you've been? Oh yes. Yeah, what we've been listening to, what's been grabbing your eyes and ears?
Just on about that Mr. Scruff gig.
Yeah,
that was a late one. Wasn't
that was
it?
A very late one.
We went at like when we got the tickets, it was like it finishes at 2 o'clock, and I was like, I mean, I was quite vocal about it. I think there's no way I'm staying till 2 o'clock. we stayed till 2 o'clock,
and then some. Yeah.
And it got very messy. I did try and leave a few times, but I kept getting made to stay. But it was a good old night.
Who was the artist that you were really chuffed about seeing? The one that I'd never heard of.
Oh, no. I hadn't either. No, I can't remember her name now. Oh, now you've got me.
Okay, come back to it.
Yeah. But I'd never heard her before. She was just really good.
Oh, okay. I assumed it was someone that you'd known and stuff.
No. We just liked what she was playing. There's a couple of support bands that I wasn't too keen on. But, you know, it's each for their own. And it wasn't really perhaps my crowd there, do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, some of the... I don't mean the crowd, I mean, like... The support acts weren't my cup of tea, I guess, is what I was going to say. And they never were going to be, so... But that's the type of thing you can expect from Mr. Scruff, isn't it? A bit of an eclectic mix.
Yeah, it was eclectic. Yeah. It was eclectic. It was Tarza Will. Tarza Will.
Yeah, Tarza, that's it. Yeah, she was really good. Tarza. Yeah. Yeah, and then this week we went to the boiler room, didn't we? A few of us went, but yeah.
We did indeed.
And we checked out Warm Dusha, and I must say... If you ever get the opportunity to go and see Warm Dusha, go and see Warm Dusha. They are brilliant. They are really good. Warm Dusha. Warm Dusha, like a warm showerer.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. They're brilliant.
Sleazy rock, I'd describe it as.
It is like sleazy rock. Or like when I first sort of came across them, I sort of imagined them to be sort of, they're English, actually, but the lead singer is American, yeah. Clam Baker Jr.
He's got the feeling of Huey from the Fun-Loving Criminals. He's got that vibe about him, hasn't he?
Kind of very
chilled and cross between Huey from Fun-Loving Criminals and Mike D or something. He's got that kind of...
Do you know what?
Yeah.
It reminded me of Bloodhound Gang. You know the Bloodhound Gang lead singer?
I can't remember.
A little bit like him. As well,
I can't remember what he even looks like, but I can imagine. No. Sort of, yeah.
It looks a bit the same. Okay,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you though, Bez. Awesome live, really good fun.
Belting
tunes.
I imagined them when I first heard them. They were like sort of like trailer trash for America, like on methamphetamine with guns, you know, that type of thing. Like they sound quite dangerous and sleazy and horrible. But really, really good. And like they sort of play with genres as well, don't they? So some of it was quite heavy.
Some of it's a bit electro, a bit disco places.
Yeah. Hip-hop-y. They've got a new album out, actually. I think it was released just the last couple of days. I've not heard it yet. And it's produced, the new album's been produced by Hot Chip. So I think that's where you're getting this sort of new, sort of more dancey.
Disco sound.
Yeah. They're still touring.
It was rammed, wasn't it? It was very, very busy there. It was. That was the first time I've been back to the boiler room since pre-COVID. So it was packed. It was hot. It was sweaty. Everyone was having a rile time.
Yeah.
But much the same as you, Ian, we didn't feel out of place age-wise. Put it that way.
Yeah. Good. No. Pleased to hear it.
If anything, we were maybe bringing the average age down. It was a solid six music demographic.
Yeah,
there.
It was very six music, wasn't it? Yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, awesome gig.
If you, they are still touring. You can get them if you're around about. They're in Sheffield, Ebden Bridge. Interestingly, Kev. Now I threw this out today, half joking, half serious to Cara. They're doing Brighton a week on Saturday, but they're doing two gigs. So they're doing an afternoon one at 3:30.
is there an age limit on that? Are you taking the kids?
No, but I just thought it'd be easier to get someone to look after the kids in the afternoon. Play date.
Stick them in the arcades, mate.
Yeah, Dan Bryan. Give them a
huge bag of 2p's, leave them there.
Yeah, they'll be laughing, won't they?
Job done. They won't even notice you're not there.
No, yeah.
anything else?
Only that...
Ain't that many gone. Go on, sorry, Ian.
Just mentioning Six. Didn't Six celebrate an anniversary the other day, didn't it? Was it 20
years?
Year.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah. Crack an article on The Guardian about that, if you want a little bit of a digest as to how it came to be and key names involved. And also just going back to, you know, past DJs but also present DJs getting their point of view on it. It's really nicely put together piece, actually.
Yeah.
Kev.
I was just about to say it's pretty much all I listen to. Music wise, introduced him to loads of new music. I love the mix of stuff you get on there as well. So yeah. Whether it be, I love Saturdays, I love Sundays. Midweek, a bit less so these days. I think it's, I used to love the Sean Keaveney one just to have it in the background whilst I was working. And these days I tend to use the app now and catch up on other shows that might be on whilst a couple of other DJs are on. But yeah, I mean, it's as far as a music resource goes, it's unbeatable.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
What's Keaveney doing now?
He's doing podcasts.
All right, okay. Yeah. A bit of money in that, isn't there, apparently?
Apparently.
We wouldn't know, mate.
It only goes one way in our... Yeah, on our side.
Yeah. I started listening to Six when they were going to shut it down. You know, that's probably when I started listening to it. You know, and there was the campaign to keep it open.
Yeah.
I don't think I really listened to it before then.
About 2010, that.
Yeah. So I always wonder whether that was a bit of a marketing ploy.
Well, I think it became the biggest digital station in the UK, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just around that time.
Yeah,
when they announced its closure. It's phenomenal. You've still got plenty of the same faces there. I mean, even the backup DJs when other people are off sick, it's phenomenal. Whether you know, the fact that you can bring in Tom Ravenscroft or Hugh Stevens or whoever it may be as a backup or Namone or something like that. It's lovely station to listen to.
Yeah. I like Ravers actually.
I
like his music.
Yeah, he's good.
It's funny. Yeah.
Have you been listening to his series about P. Lakers?
Yeah, a little bit. Just every now and again on a Sunday.
Yeah. I've been catching up with them sometimes when the midday stuff kind of comes on. It's whilst I'm working, and it's lovely chat. Some of them. Damon Albarn was on the other day running through, and he was like, "Yeah, this is where we played with the Blur and all this kind of stuff." So it must be a bit odd for him. Having people around his dad's house at the station that his dad never worked at, but essentially founded. Okay, I think that's that.
There we are. Insert sting here.
Okay, and now it's time for Hall of Fame. So, who is going to join Amy Winehouse, Beastie Boys, Blur, Chemical Brothers, Def Leppard, Elbow, Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses, Jimi Hendrix, Ian Brown, and I can't remember who was Jay. Anyone?
Johnny Marr?
Jim Iroquois? No, I don't think it was.
I think Johnny Marr did get in, didn't he?
Did he?
I
can't remember. We haven't edited it yet.
We're really going to have to write this down because I'm actually not even sure that Guns N' Roses got in.
They did.
Are you sure?
Because I didn't vote for Goldie because I voted for Guns N' Roses. I was torn.
It was Gorillaz, wasn't it, as well?
It was Gorillaz, yeah. Oh, it was a good week. It was a good week, wasn't it, that one?
It was a good week.
Yeah.
So who's going to join them? This week, obviously, we've only got myself, Ian and Bez here. The Camembert can't speak, but... by cheese mail, we did get the Pete's entry, so I'm going to pass over to our cheese correspondent, Mr. Borman.
Good evening, Mrs.
Just so you know, Ian, I don't know if you know what happened, but Pete dropped when we were camping. We were cooking Camembert on the... I don't like it, but they were cooking on a piece of wood on the fire, and Kev. When it was ready, passed it to Pete, and because Pete was so weak, he dropped the wooden Camembert all over the floor. and then, hence why he's now known as Cheesy Pete.
And like understanding fellows, you let it go, and you were like, "Oh, yeah, absolutely, never to be brought up again." Yeah,
never to be brought up again.
That's it.
Yeah, that's and it. That's yeah, the yeah. end of that story, isn't it, Kev?
Yeah,
that is the end of that story. Ian, you have Pete's entry there.
I've got Pete's entry. He's written very kindly to our WhatsApp group pleading his case for.
Are we able to put Bez for the bed for this? Can you put on this the Steve Wright music on in the background? You know the one where it's the
love story,
confessions or whatever.
Love story.
If you just do that,
I'll do that. No problem. Yeah. Get well, Pete. Get well, Pete.
Yeah. Here we go. Now, unfortunately, I've got that running around my head now while I read this out. It's amazing. It themes it well. Dear NLE, I, despite my weakened state at the mercy of man COVID, I submit to you my assertion that there is no finer band to enter the NLE alphabetical Hall of Fame than, enter drum roll here, Vegas-based 80s new wave Brit-influenced rock pop behemoths, The Killers. Why? Excellent question, says Kev and Bez. Early noughties felt a bit meh when it came to new music, but Killers punched through in 2004 with the epic Hot Fuss album, loaded with epic feel-good tunes, including probably the most played last song of the night on Earth, Mr. Bright Side. Then they won over huge crowds on tour and on festival stages with their charismatic and uplifting live shows. The perfect balance of cocky frontman, campness, epic drumming. Drummer in The Killers, Ronnie Vannucci Jr. is one of the coolest out there. Debatable, but okay, we'll move on. And awesome guitar and bass work. Seven albums over 18 years, all of which hit number one in the UK. The only international act to ever do so. Nominated for 7 Grammys, 7 Brits, 24 Brit Awards, and 1 NME Awards. These guys are the real deal. And if you need one more piece of evidence, Mr. Brightside is the longest serving single ever in the UK charts. They're also epic live and brought the Pet Shop Boys on to close the show when I saw them headlining Glastonbury 2 years ago, belting out an epic rendition of Always On My Mind, the original of which I never loved. Case closed. Vote them in. Also, I'm ill, so you'll have to let me win, surely. Love, Pete.
Well, there you go. What can you say? Yeah.
I don't like them.
The Killers. That's what I can say.
that's a bit unfair, I guess. I liked that first album when it first came out, and he's right. Those early noughties were an absolute desert of good indie or rock music. Yeah. There really wasn't much. There was White Stripes, there was Strokes. There wasn't much. Beta Band were still knocking around. A few stragglers in the late 90s as well. And they sounded fresh and they sounded new.
Yeah.
That was such
yeah, and beyond that, I just don't get it. At that year at Glastonbury, we all went to see The Killers, I think. There was myself, Pete, Ian.
I didn't go. I went to see The Chemical Brothers instead.
You bastard. I really wish I had. In fact, no. What?
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you didn't go and see The Chemical Brothers.
I was under strict orders, having spent the whole weekend seeing bands that I want to see. That I was seeing bands that everyone else was seeing that night, and I think I can't remember whether I might have left or I certainly we were fairly near the front, and I went and pretended to get a beer and just went and watched someone on a tiny little stage afterwards because it just really wasn't my cup of tea. But a few belting tunes in there. You like them, Ian, don't you?
Yeah, I saw them at Glastonbury in 2017. That's the only time I've seen them. And they were, you know, one of those, you know, they leave some gaps in the schedule, don't they? Of like, you know, mystery band, you know, to turn up ad hoc here. And so they played in the John Peel tent in 2017. You know, the rumours were going around about an hour or so before. So
I forgot about that.
Over there. And sort of like shouldered my way to the front. And it was the better for it, you know. It was like, you know, a couple of flares going off and made it all really quite something. It was slightly smaller, although the crowds were spilling out outside the tent. But it was a good gig. They were good live. I'd agree with Pete with that. But I did lose interest the minute they started singing Am I Human or Am I Dancer?
Yeah.
That for me was like, it kind of went downhill around about that point. I really enjoyed Hot Fuss. Thought Hot Fuss was a brilliant album. Played it to death like everyone else. I went off the boil on them a little bit.
Yeah. I'm the same. I saw them at a festival on the hot when it was hot when it was Hot Fuzz, and you know, and it was is it Hot Fuzz or Hot Fuss?
Hot Fuss.
Fuss. Yeah, and you know, I wasn't particularly into them then, but then saw them, really enjoyed them, thought they were great. And then I saw them a few years later, and it was around the the Am I Human sort of time. And he was wearing this big sort of furry... It was almost like they were trying to be like Queen or something like that. I don't know. Some of the clothes they were wearing were bizarre, which sort of put me off as well as the music. Do you know what I mean? Like the image they were trying to portray, I didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain bands that will do that, and you're like, that's completely them and completely authentic. Like Flaming Lips or something, they turn up in whatever they're wearing that time, and you're like, yeah, obviously they look fucking weird because they are fucking weird.
Yeah.
Whereas everything with Killers, I guess for me, feels quite calculated and formulaic.
It's the Vegas thing.
A bit Las Vegas. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And I don't like formulaic. It's a shame Pete isn't here to fight his corner. Them.
Because they've been slated, really, haven't they?
never mind.
I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, poor Pete. All right.
Well, we'll move on. I mean, they may still win. Who knows? Because Pete can't vote for them anyway. Because you can't vote for your own one. So let's move on to Bez. Who have you got?
Right. So I am going for the Justified, Ancients of Moo Moo, the Jams, the Time Lords, the K Foundation, the KLF. Now, so when we talk about Hall of Fame, you know, Pete was listing the Grammys and things like that, which is all great. But for me, the Rock and Roll or the Never Loved Elvis Hall of Fame isn't just about like awards and things like that. It's about attitude and it's about audacity. Yeah, and that's what the KLF had in abundance, didn't they? Just to list some of the things that Jimmy Cauty and Bill Drummond, Kid Boy D and Rockman Rock did. So, just a few things. This is from memory. Burnt £1 million, obviously. Firing a machine gun into a crowd. Throwing dead sheep outside the Brit Awards. Defacing billboards with slogans. Taking out huge and seemingly pointless adverts in broadsheets. Claiming a car wrote a hit single for them and arranging for it to be interviewed. Writing a hit number one single, then publishing a book with instructions on how they did it so that everyone can do it themselves. Yeah. And also you've got the Justified Ancients of Moo Moo, sort of the weird sort of religion and ideology that sort of surrounds them, which you know, which adds to the mystique. Deleting everything, deleting the complete back catalogue as soon as they disbanded. I mean, and there'll be loads of stuff that I don't even know or haven't listed. So I mean, they've got tracks now that still get played. The guinea pigs pissed on the table.
I don't know that one. Is that on Spotify?
They've got tracks now that still fill dance floors, haven't they? You know, and they have started putting them back on the streaming services. But just because of their audacity and you know the way they conducted themselves around the music industry, I believe that the KLF deserve to be put in the Never Loved Elvis Hall of Fame. I rest my case.
Good shout.
I think that's quite a strong case.
Yeah. I read a book about a couple of years ago. Oh my god, what a mess. Georgie. Right, I'm gonna put him back. I got him up. Right, hang on, just pause it.
How about we don't pause it for added comedy value while Bez puts his guinea pig that's pissed and shit on the table back into its cap.
Sorry about that. He just made a right old mess. Yeah, so I read a book about the KLF a couple of years ago now. I can't remember what it was called. But about the £1 million, like the burning of the £1 million. Like Bill Drummond won't talk about it. And I think the general consensus is he regrets it incredibly.
Yeah, they'd flip. Didn't they ship a load of journalists out to a remote island off in the Hebrides.
Yeah.
And set light to it there.
Yeah. Which one is it? It was the one beginning with J.
Jura.
Jura, yeah, that's it. Yeah, Jura. They went to Jura, yeah. Yeah, and set light to it there. Yeah.
Do you think that's one of the sort of things that's like you have a couple of beers, you get a bit excited, a bit, little bit like you staying till 2 a.m, although I'm not staying till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You get a bit excited, you get a bit carried away, you set light to £1 million, and then afterwards just, yeah.
And go like, oh, we could have, we should,
yeah. Now that I'm sober.
Yeah.
We could have had £1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did throw money away because there was another, when they were sort of in the early days of the KLF, there was a review for a gig they did in Scotland, and it was like the KLF won over the crowd. You think, oh, what, by playing some great music? No, by firing thousands of pounds into the crowd. People running around grabbing, like with we love our children or something written on it or something like that, each note.
Maybe it's like they're like a fortune now anyway.
Yeah, they're like an art project though, aren't they? You know, yeah. Bill Drummond.
Yeah, they're
both artists, aren't they? And were, I think, beforehand. Well,
rather like Super Furry Animals, didn't they have a tank as well that they drive around in?
Yeah.
Bill Drummond. Great shout.
Yeah, Bill Drummond's got a. Jimmy Carty. He's got a. What's he got? A tank. I think he's got some sort of sonic thing as well, some sort of sonic weapon or something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Might be right there. You might be right. Great shout. I've still got the original LP back from back in the early 90s. It was out from about 89, 90.
The White Room.
White's album.
Yeah.
White Room. Yeah. Some stunning tracks on there. For me, KLF will always be around that time, and it was just at secondary school, and it was. School discos would always be mainly shite, and then there might be two or three decent songs dropped in, and that was always one of them.
Yeah.
A couple of the KLF ones from that album.
Yeah. Good. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong case. I quite like the fact that they weren't just singers, weren't just a band. They were much more than that, weren't they? It was like proper, like, experiential, you know, little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Movies, stunts, you know, really understood PR, really understood how to grab a headline. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, really.
Mm.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, I'm going to go into me just so we don't hear from Ian twice in the first three. You can top and tail it, Ian. my one, I was really caught between a few people to do for K. Fela Kuti I was going to do, but frankly I already talked about him when we were talking about music documentaries, and I think I gave most of the good stories away then. So whilst he probably should go in, I don't think the rest of you would vote for him anyway. The other one I was thinking about was Kendrick Lamar, but actually who I settled on was an artist who I've really got into over the last 5-6 years. They are a poet, recording artist, novelist and playwright. It's Kay Tempest, mm-hmm. who I've seen a few times. Love their work. Coming from a poetic background, they have a certain rhythm to the way that they speak the whole time. The music that they put in behind it is also phenomenal. I think the first track that I heard was Circles.
Yeah, that's a cool track.
Back, really, really good. But actually, as far as the music goes, one thing I love that they do is make an album from start to finish that has to flow and is all interconnected. I'm doing stuff with my hands now, which doesn't really work in an audio capacity, but it's all multi-layered. So
that album that Circles was on, what was it called, that one? Can you remember?
That one, Beauty of Bass. No, it wasn't Beauty of Bassness. Which one was that?
I'll put you on the spot.
That one was Everyone Down. Everyone Down, that one was on.
So that
it was Mercury nominated, so that was 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
The one that I really fell in love with, though, was Let Them Eat Chaos, which... everything was about being at, I think it was 4:18 a.m., and so every song referenced different people in a block of flats having different experiences and, yeah. and how they all live their lives, and it was all very, very different. Phenomenal piece of work. Like, that, the whole thing... she has... Sorry, they have a very strong social conscience. It's phenomenal lyrically, as you'd expect from a poet. But the music itself is also phenomenal as well. I was supposed to see them just before lockdown. I think they were at the Six Music Festival, and that was in London. It was all at Roundhouse, but it was that weekend before the first ever lockdown, and I decided against going to that one. But well worth catching up live. They do poetry readings. They do live music gigs. But one other thing that they're doing at the moment is they've written a play that's been playing at, I think it's the National Theatre or the South Bank Centre, which is up for a load of awards as well. So super talented, whirlwind of ideas, and one of the greatest talents I've seen in the last decade, I would have said.
Yeah,
Kate Tempest.
Have you seen them live?
Yeah.
Glastonbury
win. I was there with you 2017, I think. Yeah.
Glastonbury win.
I can't remember who you were seeing. Maybe Royal Blood. So Kate Tempest. I can't think of a better artist over the last 10 years. I enjoy listening to more.
That's quite the quite the claim.
That is. That's quite big.
Yeah. How about you guys? All right.
Do you know what? I haven't heard much of their stuff, so I can't really comment. I do seem to remember you going off to see them at Glastonbury, and I declined, and I don't know who I saw instead. But
might have been Killers. Could well have been, to be honest. Yeah.
Royal could Blood. Well have been exactly. Yeah. In fact, I think it might have been Royal Blood.
Yeah.
So you were very happy with that decision. I was very happy with that decision, but that's at the expense of Kate Tempest. As a result, I don't really know their stuff, so I've got some homework to do there, I think.
How about you, Bess?
Yeah, I liked Circles, and I listened to that first album quite a lot, and it's getting up before, and you kind of alluded to it as well with the Let Them Make Chaos, is that they're all like a story out there, that they're like almost like concept albums. Yeah. Like, that first album was about, you know, wasn't that, it was like Nights Out, and it was all that type of thing, like the story intertwining of these people, you know, and...
That's it, I was so cleverly put together.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like that, and I've heard Let Them Eat Chaos. I've not heard much else. Kara's read a couple of her books. We've got a couple of books over there, actually, that I've not read.
Well, I know that either at school, the English teacher is now using Kay Tempest in the lessons for what is she, year seven pupils. Yeah. So Isla came home telling me that I'd think she'd have a very cool English teacher because they're using Kay Tempest. So
and she's probably right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, good. Right.
Ian, who have you got?
That's pretty impressive. Okay, well, I'm going to try and top that. Was it particularly interesting with my nomination for the Neville Loved Elvis Hall of Fame this week? There is something in common with yours, and that is somebody who isn't just a singer, somebody who's an artist, somebody who has written books, somebody who is a bit of a show person. One further clue, she's an incredible amount of accolades, first female artist to achieve a UK number one with a self-written song. That was Wuthering Heights. She was also the first female artist in pop history to have written every track on a million-selling debut album. She was the first British female solo artist to top the UK album charts, which I found an extraordinary stat, actually. Mm. All 10 of her studio albums have reached the UK top 10. I am, of course, talking about Catherine Bush, Kate Bush. Back to not further than 10 years for Kate Tempest, but starting in the 70s. the other thing that I found really amazing about it as well, she co-produced or produced all of her albums. So that, like, right from the get-go, and, you know, bearing in mind her first one was, like, 1975, when she was, what, in her late teens, I think that's quite something. Good, nice little bit of story and info there from Dave Gilmore from Pink Floyd had a bit of a role to play in her early days and got wind of her demo tape from 16-year-old Kate Bush and, you know, threw a little bit of money at helping her record some tracks.
Oh, really?
In order to put in front of, you know, to get this demo tape in front of a couple of labels. EMI signed us straight away. And so she had a record deal, you know, early doors, first album, Kick Inside, was out in 78 and went straight platinum, which is quite extraordinary. Sold 1 million copies in the UK and obviously had Wuthering Heights on it as well.
I'm pretty sure she was the highest selling artist the year that I was born.
Yeah, that would be about right, wouldn't it? What were you? Yeah. Were you 78, you were born.
Yeah.
That would be, so where are you round about there? Babushka sort of territory. Yeah. That was 80. But again, that was sort of, that was about the time when she was experimenting with synths. And apparently she picked that up from doing some backing vocals on with Peter Gabriel. not that duet song. But anyway, that was the sort of time where she was doing that and experimenting with documentaries as well. So like visuals of film stuff. But for me, it was Hounds of Love, really, that she sort of came to my attention, 1985. Again, number one spot in the UK, knocking off Madonna's Like a Virgin from the number one spot. But... yeah, I mean, that's because I love the songs on that album, particularly Cloud Busting. Absolutely love that track. And the drums on the title track, Hounds of Love, are just absolutely extraordinary. I remember trying to emulate that and failing miserably as it happens.
So she must be about the same age as Madonna then.
She's got to be, hasn't she?
But the exact flip, you know, two sides of the same coin, both hugely successful. One... so publicity shy that I think she's done one gig in 35 years or something, is it?
She also turned down, I was reading, she turned down the 2012 Olympics opening ceremony as well. So, you know, like you said, she's notoriously publicity shy, isn't she?
Yeah.
And in fact, she took a massive career hiatus, didn't she? So after... Red Shoes album 93, she had, you know, 12 plus years off, came back in 2005 with Ariel, which is actually a brilliant album, really, really good album. But you were talking about how, was it you were talking about with Kate Tempest, Kev, how their music tells stories and how, you know, that album, it tells the story from one side, or the songs are joined up. Kate Bush was doing that, you know, way, way, way back in the 80s, she was putting, you know, hits with Hounds of Love, for example, on the A side of the cassette or vinyl. You've got all the hits like, you know, Cloud Busting, Hounds of Love, Big Sky, all of those songs on one side. And then on the other side, it all gets a little bit more whimsical and a little bit more like all the songs, you know, hark to a poem and they're all joined up. So, you know, she was starting to do that, you know, way back then, and I think there seems to be a bit of a connection between Tempest and Bush in that sort of level. You know, obviously since her comeback in 2005 with the Ariel album, she's gone on to do other stuff, you know, film, books, like I said, you know, more albums, more music, experimental shows, box sets, compilations. There's been the obvious, you know, Grammys, you know, Enemy Awards, MTV Awards, Ivor Novello's, the somewhat less headline worthy smash hits poll winners from 1984, 1985, and a CBE in 2013. But surely a worthy entrance. But there's some stiff competition this week, I have to say. Oh, fun fact I found out as well, that do you remember the duet she did with Peter Gabriel, Don't Give Up? Must have been like sort of 1985, 1986 sort of time. I remember that from being on Now That's What I Call Music, whatever, maybe two. But yeah, I found out she wasn't the original choice for that. And I was thinking, wow, who would that have been then? It was Dolly Parton was the original choice for that. I can't imagine that song with Dolly Parton doing the female vocals on it. But yeah, listen. So there you go. My nominee for the NLE Hall of Fame this week is Kate Bush.
Awesome.
Oh, very good.
I mean, I remember always being in the car. Mum and Dad always listened to her in the 80s. And it was always something that I liked. And again, I guess rediscovered myself in the past 10 years or whatever, really truly appreciated how good she was. Again, just linking in to early in the show, just probably through Six Music, and when they drop in the odd tune here and there, going, fuck yeah, I forgot how good that was.
She's brilliantly covered, you know, a lot of decent artists have covered her stuff, and she's in turn has done some brilliant covers as well. Just tapping into the Six playlists, you know, quite often she's covered by bands like Placebo, and yeah, awesome.
Yep. I also love the publicity shyness of her. Like, here's the music. That's what I'm giving you. Crack on.
Yeah. Ta-ra.
quite happy with that. A reclusive prodigy, as it were. Yeah.
Didn't she do like a run of gigs not too long ago? Like
probably 10 years ago or so.
Yeah.
I had our friend Chris round the other night, and maybe it was after the Warm Dusha gig. We're in the pub. Anyway, there was myself, Sam, and Chris chatting and talking about gigs that you missed out on, and I was taking the piss out of him for turning down tickets for the Led Zeppelin reunion gig because he had to pay for them, and he was like, don't you know who I am? I'm a renowned music journalist. And he said, oh yeah, I was going to do the same for the Kate Bush one, but I realised I'd cocked up on the Led Zeppelin one, so I paid for the Kate Bush one. And he said he was very pleased that he did. That's one that if it came up now, I'd be, again, trying to get all my mates involved to try and get me tickets for.
100%.
Love to see it live. Yeah.
Yeah, that series of gigs, there was loads. They sold out in 15 minutes, I was reading earlier. So, you know, if you've got a ticket for that, even if you're paying...
Yeah,
you take it.
Yeah. All right, awesome. So it's coming to voting time. I have to say, a particularly strong list this week. I can only vote for three of them, and there's two very difficult choices there. So...
I don't know what you mean. KLF are all right.
So, yeah. So let's start with... Kay Tempest. Votes for Kay Tempest.
Aye.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Pete can't vote, can he? I've just realised.
Pete can't. Well, maybe I'll decide if it's going to be a draw. I'll use Pete's vote.
Right, okay.
in a selfish way. votes for KLF.
Aye.
Shit.
Oh, damn it.
Votes for Killers. And votes for Kate Bush, aye. So,
Pete's got the deciding vote.
Pete has got the deciding vote.
Should we text him now?
Yeah. Are you going to message?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ping him a message. Yeah. And
I will.
We'll move on to the game and inform everyone
see
of the winner
it.
At the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So that was Never Loved Elvis Hall of Fame. So, game-wise, you guys haven't been particularly happy with the lyric game. You've been useless at it. I've been getting quite a lot of jip from you during the game as well. There's a bit of a rebellion going on, from what I can tell. Bears, you've suggested another game, so maybe we'll try that when Pete's back as well. But this week, I'm going to try something a bit new.
Oh, God.
As Pete's not here, I can see Ian still texting away to... Pete, to
almost
try and find
done.
Out who's joining. But the rules of the game are quite simple. So, if you think about, I'm going to give you a letter, and I want you to, in turn, so start, for example, with Bez. If I said the letter K, I would want you to name an artist starting with the letter K. Ian would then say another one, starting with letter K, as then cross back over to Bez, and keep going until one of you stalls for longer than 1 second. So, for example,
1 second.
Bez would say, yeah, Bez would say KLF. Ian would say Kate Bush.
Oh, that's good.
Bez would say Killers.
Oh, they're okay. K, Tempest. Yeah. Oh, right, it's because it was K. It was K.
Yes, yeah. So you get the...
I was the like, oh, we all picked Ks, but that was the point.
That was the point. So I'm going to make it a bit easier and do it with letters that we have already put into the Hall of Fame. So we've already done the research on these guys, and Bez, I can see you looking at your phone.
I was looking at Ian's text.
You weren't opening Spotify for your favourite artists.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's Ian doing?
Both of you, if you could just put your phone, hold them up to the camera. I can see you both. So just hold your cameras up like this. Like that, so I can see your screens. So you can't see it.
Checking to see if Pete had read it.
Okay, I can check that. So, do you both understand the rules of the game?
Yeah, right, I'm going to play it properly. Yes. I'll put my phone down, it's face down.
Yeah, same.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm going to start with Bez, and we're going to start with the letter A.
Alien Ant Farm.
Aphex Twin.
Oh, Adamski.
Adele.
It does sound like Adamski in the background as well. With your fucking guinea pigs.
That's why I have George here. When he's sat next to you, he's quiet. I said Adamski, didn't I? Hang on, that's throwing me now. I had one then. Oh, Adamant.
Amy Winehouse.
Adam F.
Pause. Ian loses. Yes. Okay, moving on to... so that's 1 point to Bez. Moving on to B. Ian, start with this.
Beasties. Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys. Black Sabbath.
Blur.
Oh. Brian's Jonestown Massacre.
Good shout.
Brian Adams.
Brian Eno.
Black Crows.
Black Flag.
Bullock Flag.
David
the
Bowie.
Bullock Flags.
Black Flag.
Bowie will do, yep.
Blur.
No, we've had Blur. Blur. That's 1 point to Ian. Okay. Ian. Bez. Starting with C.
Could.
Ian, you've lost that already, I'm afraid. That's 1 point to Bez. You can't think of a single person starting with C, even though you recommended them for the Hall of Fame. Ian, starting with D.
Def Leppard.
What?
This is poor. This is piss poor.
Not just me.
It's pressure. I still can't think of a D. I can only think of the name Diane.
Bez. You could have had Diana Ross. Let's go for the letter S.
Oh, right. I'd E ready then. S.
I know.
Spiritualized.
Sugar.
Oh, yeah. Silver. Bullet. Silver Bullet.
Stain.
Slaves.
No, that's a point to Bez. Let's go with M for Mother.
Mother?
And let's start with Ian.
Mary J. Blige.
Oh, good. Mike and the Mechanics.
Not so good. Mountain Duke. Goat.
Sorry, you're breaking up there, Ian.
Is that real?
I think that's another point for Bez. So let's go for a P. A P, please, Bob, starting with Bez.
Far Side.
Primus.
Primal Scream.
Pavement.
Pulp.
Placebo.
Papa Roach.
Oh, that was close, mate. That was close.
Public Image Limited.
Public Enemy.
Oh, that was my next one.
No, that's it.
No.
Bears is one. Bears is one. 5 points to two on the...
I literally, alphabetically. I just said the word Papa and then Roach came out after it. I had no idea where I was going with that.
That was surprisingly hard.
Yeah,
name tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, the votes are in from Pete.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So Pete has voted KLF.
KLF.
Awesome. So KLF now join. Let's do this. Amy Winehouse, Beastie Boys, Blur, Chemical Brothers, Def Leppard, Elbow, Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses, Jimi Hendrix, Ian Brown, and someone with the letter J. Awesome. And it's now the KLF. That's cracking. I'm pleased with that. I would have been pleased with Kate Bush, KLF, or Kate Tempest, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, pretty strong this week. Pretty strong.
Yeah.
We should have put all three in.
Yeah, it gets a bit messy then, mate.
Yeah, but it would have been.
Once we get past Zed, we'll figure something else out for the next series, and maybe it's the losers battle off against one another. Who knows? Who knows? That's awesome. What else have you got lined up over the next couple of weeks before we have the next catch up? Then anyone got any gigs lined up?
I've got Foles.
Oh, when's
okay? When is it?
So. Going to see Foles at Olympia at the end of the month, end of April. Anyone been to a gig at Olympia?
No.
No, same. I'm not really sure what to expect.
I imagine it's going to be like Earl's Court was back in the day.
That's why I thought the same as well. So, very much looking forward to that. Not entirely sure who's supporting, but I expect that it will be good. They're a three-piece now. When I saw them last, they were four-piece. But I'm sure it will still be good. The new album's very good.
They're knocking out the albums pretty quickly as well at the moment. They're pretty proficient in that regard. Yeah. I don't think I've got any live gigs lined up. I did see today on Twitter, you know, Banquet Records, Ian, you didn't even mention Biffy Clyro, which you'd been to over there.
Did I not mention that on the last one?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Well, I'll save it for next week, because that was a great gig.
All right, okay. But I saw on their Twitter feed that they've got Michael Bublé playing at Prism shortly.
Right.
And I think tickets go on sale tomorrow or the day after. So I thought I might try and get tickets for... my wife for that one. Might try.
But it's not Christmas.
I know, it's not even Christmas. It's an album that isn't to do with Christmas. But I think she'd actually just quite enjoyed the gig. They all went to go and see Dream Wives at the Boiler Room a couple of weeks ago, and they had a cracking time at that one. So, maybe try that. Bez, you got anything lined up?
No, I was just having a look through the calendar. The next month, at the end of the month, we've got Spiritualized.
Awesome.
30th.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a Friday, Saturday night?
That is a Saturday night in Brighton.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, we might figure something out for that. Gents, it's been lovely to do this, try this remotely. It may be that we have to come back and re-record this in person. Who knows?
we'll see in the edit.
I'll be amazed if you do any better in the game, even if you do it in person. So, anyway, it's been lovely to see your faces. Agreed. If people do want to get in contact with us, they can reach out to us at email at neverlovedelvispod@gmail.com.
You can get us on Instagram at neverlovedelvis.
You can get us on Twitter at neverlovealvi2.
and it's on Facebook as well.
And the playlist on streaming services.
Spotify.
Yeah. Never Loved Elvis.
Spotify.
Oh, and please feel free to leave feedback as well. We'd be interested if anyone wants us to chat about anything. It's that'd be great. And leave a review where you can as well. But thank you for your time. Thank you for your ears. I've been Kevin.
I've been Baz.
I've been Ian.
And that's been Pete. Thank you very much. This has been Love Elvis.
And don't forget the guinea pigs.
Ha 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 ha!